Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, September 25th. I'm Ray Graff. We're talking soul food and Southern cooking on this edition. It comes to us by way of Ali B's Cozy Kitchen in Albany. On the line today is Kizzy Williams Francisco, who most people know as Ali B. She runs the Clinton Avenue establishment and will be here to answer your cooking questions. You got a question for Kizzy? Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. She is a great guest on this program and quite possibly a future president of the United States of America. Kizzy Williams Francisco and your cooking calls coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on Food Friday, we welcome Kizzy Williams Francisco of Ali B's Cozy Kitchen. She is here to discuss soul food, Southern cooking, and any other kind of cooking you might have a question about. Ali B's is named for the late Ali B. Bethea, a native of South Carolina. In the 60s, Ali B. brought her unique recipes and style to Manhattan, began catering and selling food on the streets of Harlem. Ali B. cooked for numerous prominent religious officials, city councilors, state legislators, congressional representatives, a New York City mayor, a New York State governor. The tradition now continues through her daughter, Kizzy, who has transplanted her mother's recipes to our region. If you have a question about soul food or Southern cooking or almost anything else under the sun, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Kizzy, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ray, I'm so honored to be here.
Great to have you here. Now, at the very top of the show, I called you quite possibly a potential future president of the United States. Would you take?
I love that.
Would you take the job if offered?
You know what? I would take the job only because I have a great wife. Okay,
yeah.
My wife. Holly Francisco, when it comes down to politics, she is like a beast. So it would be more like how, you know, President Clinton and Hillary, how I feel like Hillary should always be president.
Yeah.
Where I would be doing everything that she says do in the White House.
Okay, fair enough. So you're not ruling it out, a run in the future?
No, I'll take it. Why not?
All right, we made some news here. The number is 800-348-2551. Well, I got to tell you, I would ask you how business is going, but we have it on strong authority from a guy in the newsroom who drives past your shop every day on the way home. Business is booming, eh?
Praise God. You know, business is good. I can't ask the Capital Region for anything else. I'm grateful. I am so grateful that you know, WAMC have a big part in that because when I'm on the station, people in Massachusetts hear me, people downstate hear me, and they all come for the great Ali B's Cozy's Kitchen. So I'm going to say thank you, WAMC, for the promotions that y'all are advertising with us. Business is good.
Well, you know, you do us a big service here whenever you're on this program. So I think it's a tit-for-tat here. The number is 800-348-2551. And anything new on the menu before we get into calls, et cetera?
You know what? It's nothing new on the menu, but I can tell you everything on the menu is good. So call today, 518-729-3472, and order some baked turkey wings or some chicken wingdings or barbecue chicken or barbecue ribs.
Okay.
The menu is booming today. The food is fantastic. Call in today.
All right. Now, you can't really do calls to action in public radio, just so you know. But you did it already, so maybe we'll stop now with the, you know, we'll give your contact
info. No problem, Ray.
We'll close out the week by losing our license. Well, there you go. Hey, what's a chicken wing ding?
A chicken wing ding is basically a chicken wing, right?
Yeah.
And it has no tip on it. So what they done did to the, it was a whole wing, and they just split it.
Oh, I gotcha. Hey, all right, before we get to calls, and by the way, if you have a question for Kizzy Williams Francisco of Ali B's Cozy Kitchen, call now, 800-348-2551 is our number. She gave you her number. Our number is 800-348-2551 if you want to call in. Before we get to the calls, Kizzy, let's talk about lima beans, all right? I have a strong dislike for lima beans.
What?
Yeah. What would you do with them to make them tolerable?
First of all, I love lima beans.
Really?
I love lima beans. But this is what I would tell you to do with lima beans.
All right.
I would tell you to get you a fresh, dry bag of beans.
Yeah.
1 pound, and put them in a pot. Fill the pot up with some water and let it soak overnight.
Okay.
Now, the only reason why I tell you to soak overnight, some people say it makes it tender, but what I have learned is it takes the gas out the beans so that when you cook them, your tummy don't get a bunch of gas in it.
Oh, that's what caused all the gas when I was a
kid.
Oh, I'll be
so
darned.
You let the lima beans soak overnight, get up in the morning, rinse the beans off, fill a pot up with water.
Yeah.
And put it on the stove, throw some smoked turkey or some smoked neck bones inside of it, and just let it cook until the water, and I'm going to say 5-quart pot. Put it in a 5-quart pot.
Yeah.
With 1 pound of beans and 3 pieces of smoked meat, and let it cook until that the beans just cook down and it's, the water done thickened. And this it tastes just great just like that. Add some salt and pepper. And it's a natural, especially with that smoked meat. How do you make your lima beans?
Okay, well, I don't make lima beans, all right?
I'm going to make you some lima beans.
Hang on.
I'm going to tell you this. When I make lima beans, it is so good that your heart, your stomach, your body just relaxes. You wind up going to sleep.
The last thing I need is my heart to relax. I think it's going to relax permanently before you know it. Hey, you know, but here's the problem with lima beans for me. Part of it's psychological. When I was a kid, God rest her soul, my mother made a lot of lima beans, and they were not good. They were chalky, and they still fill my dreams, and they're...
Well, you know what? This is what I want to say to you, Ray.
Yeah.
I can understand when you say they were chalky. That's because she didn't let them cook long enough. But this is what I will tell you, too, Ray. When I was a little girl, my mother made lima beans all the time, too. And guess what? By the time I was a teenager, I hated them.
Okay.
But then I grew up.
I guess that's where we differ.
Yes. And now I crave them all the time. Lima beans, black eyed peas.
Really?
I crave these beans, yes.
All right, well, let's agree to disagree on the lima beans.
I'm going to make you some lima beans.
Kizzy Williams Francisco is our guest. We'll get to the phones in a moment. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Hey, just before we get back to the program, thanks to every single person who dropped a dime in our fun drive. It is over. It ended this morning. And once again, everybody who pledged, thank you so much. We appreciate it. It's Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Always fun when Kizzy Williams Francisco of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen is in the house. And our number is 800-348-2551. We go to Marcia in Altamont. Marcia, you're on.
Hi there. I'm hoping that you can tell me how to make and properly serve something that I remember from the South and have not had properly done since then. It's sausage biscuits with red-eyed gravy.
Yummy.
Well, you know what? That definitely sounds delicious. Basically, you just get you some biscuits. Are you looking to make homemade biscuits, or are you just want to make some?
Oh, yes. We want homemade biscuits.
Well, with the homemade biscuits, I would say, you know, get you your flour, get you some baking soda and some baking powder. I don't have my, let me see, do I have my recipe on this thing here for biscuits? This is what I'm going to say. You got some flour, you got a little baking soda, a little baking powder, a little salt. You can add a little bit of sugar and just a few ounces of water, mix that up, bake it, That's be for your biscuits. Now, for your gravy, is some flour, some water, whatever spices you have. Now, some people like to fry onions. I like to fry onions to mix in my gravy to bring out that flavor. But that's basically it. Take the gravy, pour it right on top of the biscuits, and it's to die for.
Why do they call it red eye gravy?
You know, I don't. It must be because it turns white. It's white in the beginning, and then it turns brown. Like a Indian color.
I gotcha. Yeah, all right.
But you know what? My wife loves biscuits with gravy, and for her birthday, that's what she asked for.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, she actually licked the plate, so I know it's good.
All
now,
right.
when you use your spices for your gravy, you can use like garlic, onion powder, pepper, a little salt. You know, just simple. And the flavor comes in also when you from the sausages, sausages that grease from the sausages. That's going to add flavor gravy. So you're going to use all of that oil and gook that's at the bottom of the pan. That's what you're going to pour your water into to boil the consistency and add the flour. And the flour will thicken and turn into your gravy. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes. And just let it cook and thicken. And pour it right on top of your It's delicious.
It sure is. Marcia, you want to follow up or are you good?
No, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Have a great weekend. And, oh, we just hung up on Kizzy. I don't think she was locked in, so we'll call her back. Do we still have the number? yeah, that's fun. Hey, once again, thanks to everybody who pledged during the fun drive. If you heard it, it was a little different than previous fun drives. The pandemic didn't allow us to have volunteers in the building. Staffers answered the phones. We limited the on-air pitching, and Joe and Alan took a great deal of the pitching duties. But while they were doing the roundtable, which was really cool because you had content that you would usually get while we were raising money, and you guys out there did amazing work. And I truly sat here astonished this morning at about 8:50 when the whole thing ended, and it's because everybody got it. And I took a lot of calls when I was sitting at my desk during the week. We all did. And it was just incredible to hear everybody who just understands what it's all about. So thanks again. Ali B is back with us. Sorry about that. We didn't lock your line. Hey, guys.
That's okay. I hope I'm locked in now.
Well, let's see. I think you just have to hit it again, Zach, to make sure. There you go.
Don't lose me.
Now I see a lock on your line. So I don't think we'll do that again. All right. Good. Now, by the way, if you have a question for Kizzy Williams-Francisco, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Tom in Great Barrington. Tom, you're on.
Hey there.
Hey.
I would totally vote for you in a heartbeat.
I so, love you.
Yeah, here's my question. It's about fried chicken. So
okay.
I grew up in the South. My mother was, her mother was a French cook, and she made the most amazing fried chicken, and I have tried, and both of them are gone. And so I have no one to tell me how to make good fried chicken, especially ones that's really crispy, crunchy. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, this is what I'm going to tell you. First, in order to get crispy, crunchy fried chicken, you want the grease to be hot, okay? So when you turn your stove on and you have the grease in the frying pan, you know, some people say, oh, you need a skillet. It to me, it doesn't matter what pot you put that. You can put it in a pot, a frying pan.
Yeah.
Make sure the grease is hot. Now, how are you going to know that grease is hot? We're going to do it old school. Just wet your hand, throw a little water at the pot. If it starts sizzling, it means that grease is hot. Now, the grease is hot. You want to dip that fried chicken in that flour. Now, when you dip the fried chicken, when you wash the fried chicken, it leaves a wet coat around the chicken. It's seasoned, yeah. It's wet. You dip it in the flour. You dip that chicken in a deep pan. You want it deep. So when you frying it, the grease covers it. And you let that chicken fry If you fry your chicken usually for 20 minutes, you fry it for 30 minutes. The longer you have your chicken frying in the frying pan, the crispier your crisp of the chicken will be. Some people call and they say, can I have my chicken soft? Sometimes I get a taste for soft fried chicken, and I fry it less. So the longer that chicken is being fried in the oil, that is what's going to give the crunch. Now, some people dip it in egg, but at Ali B's Cozy's Kitchen, we just dip it in flour. Mm. And the crisp is unbelievable. The crisp is so strong that you can put that chicken in the refrigerator, take it out the refrigerator the next day, bite into it, and it's still crunchy.
Amazing. And, you know, so she's not lying,
Tom.
If
you cook that chicken, that's right. Yeah. If you cook that chicken for 20 minutes, give it an extra 10 minutes.
Okay.
And
do you like salt and pepper in your flour or any
yes,
spices?
You know what? Honestly, I don't put the salt and pepper in the flour. What I do is I season the chicken. Now, see, you can add the seasoning spices in your flour, but I like to taste those spices in my meat. Now, see, when it's in the meat and when you dip it in the flour, all of those spices that you soaked on your meat is going to go on your flour. So now you got your chicken that's seasoned and your flour is seasoned. You understand me?
Right.
Yes.
I do.
So you don't even have to season the flour. Just season the chicken. When you throw the chicken in the flour will become seasoned. And
excellent.
It's going to be delicious. And listen, if you have any issues, call a restaurant. I will help you to frying your chicken.
What's that number?
518-729-3472.
Well, Tom,
please.
Thanks a lot for the call. Kizzy Williams-Francisco is our guest. Our number on this program, if you want to talk to her today, is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Now, not joking here, you are one of two people whose fried chicken I like. I'm not a fried chicken guy, but you brought fried chicken, and it is just out of control amazing. And
that's because it's simple.
That is
See,
exactly
you are
it.
A man that likes simple, historical products. You know, you want the natural goods, the real goods.
That's because I'm
you
old.
You want something that's right from the earth, not too much, just perfect. And that's why you really enjoy that fried chicken.
Now, the other person who makes fried chicken that I absolutely love is Chef Jasper Alexander. Do you know him?
No, I don't. But we're going to have to meet. You got to get us together.
He runs Hattie's Chicken Shack up a little bit, you know, Saratoga and Wilton up there and stuff. And
you know what? I have read some articles on him.
Yeah, I think you two would get along famously. Now,
and you know what? We can learn a little bit from each other.
One thing he does is he has the regular fried chicken, and then he makes this Nashville spicy, which is another thing that I dream about a lot. It's amazing stuff. But I think, getting back to your response to our last caller, I think that spice is in the... I don't think it's in the chicken. You like to
season... It's in the flour.
I think so, but I'm not a cook, so I don't know. But it's good stuff. We are joined today by Kizzy Williams-Francisco of Ali B's Cozy Kitchen. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And also, you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And Kizzy, our friend Deanna Fox, wrote in, and she says, Red Eye Gravy gets the name because it's made with coffee. You use the drippings.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you use the drippings from pan-fried ham, she writes, but bacon drippings work too, and then thicken with a little flour, add a liquid with coffee and water or chicken stock, season with salt and pepper. There you go.
Well, you know Deanna Fox is my sister.
Maybe she'll have to come in and whip up some red eye gravy over.
That will sound good, and we can eat it.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Robert in Albany. Robert.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my call. Kizzy, darling, how are you?
Hey, Robert, how you doing today?
I'm all right. I've stopped by the shop a couple times, but you've been too busy, and just to get your autograph, of course. Anyway, I just want to throw a heads up for your shepherd's pie, which is a big treat and a big favor of mine. When you're having a large group of people, you have that shepherd's pie, and my only recommendation is you hire somebody to stand over the pot so people don't take too much.
Listen, Robert, we love you at Allie B's. And you know what? Robert, we met Robert through the food pantry event. And tell your wife we said hello. Robert has been coming by Allie B's for about three years now, and because of the food harvest. The pantry harvest.
Yeah. So it's terrific. Every year that you're there, unfortunately, I'm not going to have it this year. But
well, you know what? You can always still donate.
Yeah.
Always support the food pantry. The food pantry, Natasha and them, they are fantastic people. Even though we're not having the event live, we're still having the event.
Yeah. Well,
if you want to cater specifically to me and get a loan, you're allowed to do that.
All right, Robert. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Hey, wait a minute. This shepherd's pie business. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Kizzy, but that's an Irish thing. That's not Southern cooking, right?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you, with the food pantry event, they have you make all kinds of dishes.
Yeah.
And, you know, with every culture can take a dish and mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Growing up, getting food from the food pantry, that was one of the dishes that we did make with shepherd's pie. And it became a hit with the food pantry event. And we sell the shepherd's pie as $100 a pan, and it is outstanding. It's amazing. Call and order it. We don't sell it in the store for a regular day. We only do it for caterings. But it is the best in the capital region, even though I am Allie B.
All right. Well, listen, do you also do something like Italian sauce? Because that's not a Southern dish either. But, you know, people like that, right? Do you do...
I've been blessed. My hands have been touched in so many ways that I'm capable of making many dishes.
Yeah, but have you?
Yes, I have.
You've made nice pasta and sauce and stuff?
Yes, I have made pasta and sauce. I have, I did go to cooking school. It wasn't to learn the soul food, but it was to learn about culture.
Yeah.
About the world. So I grew up, you know, I've been making tomato sauce for 20 years now.
All right, well, give me some pointers. My wife is making for the first time from tomatoes our homemade sauce this weekend. Give me the best pointer, the most important bit of wisdom.
I'm going to say just boil a, do she boil the tomatoes and do after she boil the tomatoes, I would say use the plum tomatoes if I'm right, and it's not the plum tomatoes. We just use any tomatoes.
Yeah, that's, we got Romas.
What we
do got...
was we take the skin off. We take the skin off.
That was a question.
And
then
we blend it, and then after I blend it, I cook it some more.
Yeah.
And I do cheat. I do cheat. I add a little bit of tomato paste.
Yeah.
And I let it cook, and I mix in my onions and my green peppers and my garlic. And honestly, the tomato sauce takes like 2.5-3 hours. I'm going to say 3 hours.
Yeah.
It takes about 3 hours to make a decent pot of sauce.
You got to mill the seeds out, though, right? The seeds don't go in.
No, it does not. The seeds, when you boil the, this is what I say. When you boil the tomato sauce,
yeah,
you drain it.
Yep.
You can use a cheesecloth. You can use, I'm just going to say a cheesecloth.
Yeah.
And you just pour it out and you smash it in, and then, bam, you got your sauce. I'm not directly a professional, but I have made pasta sauce. Not noodles, but I have made the sauce.
Yeah, well,
and my family loves it.
Well, you know what? We'll see. I think it's going
to
be okay.
And you can cheat. You can also cheat. You can just get the tomato sauce in a can, let that boil for 3 hours too, and cook it. But, yes, we make tomato sauce at home. And then also I have a young Italian boy that's given me a little class on how their family do it. Now, this is what I learned, too. Most Italians, when they make their sauce, they like to put smoked neck bones or a piece of smoked meat inside of it. It adds flavor. Is your wife doing that?
I have no... Listen, I stay far away from the kitchen for
everyone. This is what you can tell her. Tell her when she cook it, make sure she has some smoked meat.
Okay.
Oh, it brings out flavor inside of... the tomato sauce.
Well, the next time you're on, I'll let you know if I survive. I'll let you know how everything went. Let's go back to the phones and Mike in Clifton Park. Mike, you're on with Kizzy Williams Francisco.
Yes, hi, Kizzy.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Now, I have family down in the South, and they make some amazing banana pudding. Tell me how, because I tried it, and I don't like to do the instant banana pudding. I don't know if you know how to make this particular, like, banana pudding, but if you have it in your place, I've been looking for some really authentic banana
homemade
pudding.
Homemade banana pudding. Okay, let me tell you this about homemade banana pudding. Now, I have made instant banana pudding. But every year around Thanksgiving, I always give people order a bunch of homemade banana pudding. Now, it's really a simple dish, to tell you the truth. So you get your bananas, you get fresh bananas, and you get the pudding that you cook. You know, vanilla pudding, not banana pudding. You get the vanilla pudding that you cook on the stove. Okay. And you layer it. So you cook your pudding, you slice up your bananas, you get your vanilla wafer cookies, you also make your, the top of the banana pudding is like a foam. So you use the egg whites, and I can't even think of what I put in the egg whites.
Yeah, the sugar, the egg white, the vanilla.
Yes, you put the sugar, the egg whites, but it's another ingredient that you have to put in the egg whites in order for them to foam up.
Vanilla extract, Mike
says. Nope, not just vanilla extract. It's another ingredient.
Hmm.
You're going to have to call me because I don't have my booklet in front of me. But it is an ingredient when you take the egg whites, you get your blender, you blend them up, and it makes it very foamy. And you have to cook that. So now you got your vanilla pudding, you got your bananas, you got your vanilla waffle cookies, you lay everything out. At the end, you add your foam on top. That becomes it's like whipped cream, but it's not whipped cream. And then you push it in the oven and you allow it to cook for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, not long. And then you pull it out the oven, you let it sit in the refrigerator, and it's cooked. Now, see, what people do today is they get whipped cream, they get bananas, and they get pudding already made.
Yeah.
They layer it in their pan, and that be their banana pudding. But see, like you grew up and I grew up, we grew up making the pudding. That's basically what's different now. And then we also take the egg white, mix the egg white up, and then we lay that on top of it and put it in the oven, and that's what makes your homemade banana pudding.
Mike, we got to take a break here. That sounds very good, though. Kizzy Williams.
It is good. It's simple, good.
You know,
you got to cook the pudding. You got to make sure the pudding is at the right consistency.
See, I'm more of the school. You buy the pudding, and then you throw a banana in, and you call
it. That's cool for the kids.
Really?
Yeah, that's cool for the kids, but this gentleman, he wants the best.
Okie doke. Let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back at 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. We're joined today by food entrepreneur and cook and future president Kizzy Williams Francisco of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen.
Right.
The number to call is 800-348-2551 if you have a question about Southern or soul cooking for Kizzy. And by the way, we got an email here from someone who is nameless who writes, banana pudding, says the ingredient you were thinking of was cream of tartar. Is that true?
Bam! They got me.
Okay.
All right. Yes, indeed.
Oh, fair enough.
Sometimes my brain is somewhere else. It's, you know, I'm on the phone with you, Ray, and honestly, I'm in the kitchen. You know, because I'm at work. So, you know, you can be at work and you're still thinking about frying fish.
Absolutely. You know what? Absolutely. I'm at work, and sometimes I'm thinking about being at the blackjack table, you know.
Oh, my goodness. At the blackjack table.
On a hard 18, you know. All right, here we go. Let's go. Mary in Mayfield. Mary, you're on. Oh,
Hi,
Mary. How you doing today?
Grandmother. I'm good, honey. How are you? I just love you to pieces.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You got my heart melting right now.
Aw. Well, listen, well, my question is, I've heard so many things about, like, fried chicken and, you know, soaking it in buttermilk, et cetera. But do you still stick by what you said, just dipping it, washing it in the water, and then dipping it in the flour?
Yes, you know what? Like, first, I have relatives that cook in all different types of ways. But the original way to me with frying the chicken, it was just, you know, washing the chicken off and sizzling it up and dipping in the flour. Because if you think about it, and, you know, 100 years ago, someone was trying to save their buttermilk. You dip the fried chicken in buttermilk. That's more of an elegant luxury fried chicken. You know, it's 2020 now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When you think about dipping chicken in buttermilk, it doesn't seem like it's luxury. But if you think about 100 years ago, that was luxury.
Sure, of course.
You know?
Now, would you say the same thing for, like, chicken wings too, hon?
I fry all the chicken the same way. I just wash it down, clean it, season it up. You know, when you wash the chicken down and season it up, at the bottom of the pan, it leaves water. Yeah. It has water, and then the water is seasoned because of all the seasons you put on that chicken. Then when you take that piece of meat and put it in another container with flour, dip it in there, and you drop it in the oil, the flour done stuck to the chicken. And what keeps
okay, so then season it first before you flour it.
Right. I mean, some people put season in the flour. You don't have to change that. If you want to season your flour, you can.
Okay.
But if you want to season your chicken, you can. Now, I season my chicken because I know it allows me to know what each piece has because I'm looking at it. I can see what's on the chicken, the spices. You get what I'm saying to you? So when I fry
do
my chicken.
One more quick question, too, can you give me a good coleslaw recipe? A simple
coleslaw. Let me tell you,
recipe.
I love coleslaw.
Yeah.
I love coleslaw.
Me
now,
too.
This is simple. I don't know if this is how this sounds, but when I make some coleslaw, I use some carnation milk. I use a little bit of sugar. Yeah, I use carnation milk.
Oh, my
God. Yes, I do.
Wow.
So evaporated milk, you mean? Or?
Yes, evaporated milk, yes.
Oh, darned. Okay.
And
you put, like, any lemon juice in or anything?
Yeah,
or
you can add a little bit of the lemon juice can come at the end. You can add a little bit of lemon juice at the end, but I use the carnation milk. I use a little bit of sugar. I use a little bit of mayo. And I mix that up, and I put salt and pepper. So you got salt, a little pepper, a little bit of sugar, your carnation milk, your mayo. You mix that up with your cabbage and your carrots and just mix that bad boy up. Now, when you first make it, it's going to be a little wet.
Yeah.
But if you let it sit in the refrigerator for the next day, oh, my goodness, it is just, it's delicious.
No onions at all, Kizzy? No onions?
No onions. You know what? I like it very fresh. Now, you can add whatever else you want to add into it. Onions or, you know, some people add spinach. I just want the carrots and the cabbage. So grade that up really nice and fine.
That's how I like it.
And I use a little bit of carnation milk, sugar, a little salt, a little pepper, and some mayo.
Okay.
Mix that bad
boy
up.
I never would have thought
what?
Carnation milk.
Yes, and you know where I got that recipe from? When I was a little girl,
we
used to make carrot salad. Have you ever
made
carrot salad?
Where did you grow up? You grew up down south?
You know what? Even though I grew up in Harlem, my family is down south.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, I grew up right in Harlem, but I always loved that carrot salad with raisins and apples.
That sounds
good.
That is
basically the same recipe that I use to make the coleslaw.
Well, there you go.
And it is delicious.
Well,
I don't make coleslaw often at the restaurant, but when I do make it, the customers love it. Everybody loves it.
You mentioned putting it in the fridge overnight, and it's better the next day. Now,
I
agree with you. But now, here's my situation. You'll get a good coleslaw, and I don't make coleslaw, but we'll buy it, and we'll get a good coleslaw. What's the shelf life of that stuff in the fridge? It'll get pretty soggy and pretty rotten pretty fast.
You're right, but that's why you have to, when you make it today, say like you make it today, you need to sell it tomorrow. You can't have it sitting around.
No. Absolutely.
It has to get in and get out.
By the way, we got another email about the cream of tartar. So people are following along, and they...
That's good. They're doing good. They know what to do. You, like they said, put that cream of tartar inside of the white part of the egg.
Yeah.
And you beat that up, and you use that cream of tartar. It gives off a foam. It they call it peaks, high peaks.
Yeah.
So you blend it up. I'm not too much of a baker, but, you know, that's how they speak, in peaks. So once it forms into peaks, you are able to take those peaks, sit it on top of the banana pudding, and push it in the oven. So with the egg whites, you got the egg whites, you got a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of sugar, the cream of tartar, mix that bad boy up, put it on top of the banana pudding, push it in the oven, and you know what? It looks so beautiful when it's finished. It has this golden, beautiful brown color. Please order it from Ali B's Cozy's Kitchen. It's $50 a pan. Come get it.
Okay, that's good. We're not allowed to do prices or calls to action in public radio, but you've done it, and now, you know, my career's done.
And you know what else I wanted to tell the Capital Region and downstate in Massachusetts? We created a culture center. Ali B's have created the culture center over there on Quellen First. So not only are we cooking food for the community, we're changing the community.
Oh, that's terrific. Tell me about, before we get to our next call, tell me a little bit about the culture center.
Well, the culture center is located 64 Quellen First. And this Sunday, we're actually having an event sponsored by Deb Rizzo.
Yeah.
The commissioner from Albany County Department of Agents. I'm sorry. Deb Retaino.
Okay.
And we're going to have our county, Albany County executive, Dan McCoy will be there.
Yeah.
And what we do is we try to stop crimes. There's a lot of people who have been getting shot on Quellen First, and we're looking to raise money and just change people's history, teach people how to own land, help people get jobs, help people go to the Navy, change this community that has been left behind. And my wife said to me this morning, some people are always the first to label a community or a group of people, but the last to help change that community. And what Ali B is about, we're about changing communities. So if anyone is looking to donate, cash tag the culture center. Cash tag the culture center. Donate. We need all the help that we can get to help change these communities. It's just... You know, it's about building happiness and love. And without love in a community, you can have food, but you also need love. And you need education. You need knowledge. And that's what Ali B's is doing on Quellen First. So check us out. It's the Culture Center. We're on Facebook, 64 Quell, Albany, New York. We'll be out there this Sunday giving out free bags from the Department of Aging. They paying for everything to stop the flu. So come through at 2 o'clock. This is for everybody, senior citizens. Please come through and get these free bags that the Department of Aging is giving out. It's not about being rich or poor, because you can be rich and get the flu, and you can be poor to get the flu. We want everyone to show up this Sunday, 2 o'clock, 64 Quellen First, the whole entire Capital Region.
Well, Kizzy, we have several calls here, but I just want to say one of the things that sets Ali B's a step above many fine establishments is that you are such a central part of the community. And you got the Thanksgiving cooking that you do, and you're always involved. And I think it just takes it to another level, and we all appreciate what you've done. Let's go to Pops. Pops, where are you calling from?
Johnstown.
You are on. Go ahead.
Hey, Pops.
Miss Allie.
Hey!
You know who that is? You know
who that is? Goodness, hello!
I love you, baby.
I love this man to death. He lives in Johnstown.
That's right.
Johnstown, yeah.
Oh, my God. This gentleman never, he always, he when he calls Ali B's, he has me fry his chicken with no salt.
Oh.
I fry that chicken up for him with no salt, with no butter, and he eats it up with his cornbread.
All right.
With love.
Yes, indeed.
With love, Allie.
Well, Pops, thanks for calling.
I just wanted to say hi.
All right,
I just wanted to say hi.
We love you.
Well, thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you, and God bless.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to John in Hudson. John, you're on with Kizzy Williams Francisco.
Oh, hey.
Hey, John.
We got a dessert. How are you? We got a dessert question. What's the difference between a crisp, a crumble, and a cobbler? In the South, they make like a peach cobbler, right?
Yes, okay. And then it's the crisp. Let me tell you what's the difference. Now, when you see the crisp is just some sugar and butter mixed up.
Oh.
And you sprinkle that on top of some apples or some peaches. And when you push that in the oven, it turns into like a nice glazed, chunky, crunchy, crispy, delicious, flaky item. And then with the peach cobbler, is just a crust, a pie crust.
Hmm.
You know, where it's not, it's crunchy, but it's a pie crust. When the crisp is butter. You know, like when you have a croissant.
Oh.
Croissant is made with just layers and layers of butter. Mm. And that's what happens when you have a crisp. The crisp is just a crunch of butter on top with sugar. And it's very crunchy and very flaky. And the peach cobbler is just the pie crust, the flour that you allow to cook in the oven and gain a beautiful color. And when you slice into it, it's crunchy, but at the bottom of the peach cobbler is full of great liquids.
Mm. All right, John, thank you very much for that one. Kizzy Williams Francisco here, and Tom is in Palmer. Tom.
Hey, good afternoon, Kizzy. I just had a
Hello
quick question
today.
About okra.
Okra.
Hello?
Okra.
Hi. Okra, all right.
Yeah, I grow some okra, a very small amount, and you got to get it when it's just about 2 inches, 2-3 inches fresh. But I don't know where to buy it in the stores around here when I go looking for it. Any suggestions in New England or New York, upstate New York?
Well, this is what I will tell you. A lot of times here, I go to the Asian market and I get my okra. And I love okra. Sometimes I just fry the whole okra in the deep fryer, just fry it and take it out the fryer, drain it, and dip it into whatever sauce I have in the refrigerator. But
okay.
I love okra. So this is what I would say. Look into your Asian markets. Asian markets, if you have any Asian markets, you know, out there in New England, that is one thing I believe they will provide is okra.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, because that's where I buy mine.
One addendum on that. Can you grow it inside in the winter?
You know what? I have never grown okra.
Huh.
But I guess this year I would try.
Well, Tom, you can
always... It's really hardy in New England. It really is. What I've found in the past 2 years, I don't have a lot of land space, but what I do have is it lasts all the way up, you know, as long as you keep it covered through the frosts until you get a killing, real good killing frost.
Wow.
And but it's a hardy plant.
All
it really is.
Well, Tom, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tom.
You should call in on the gardening show the next time we do that, and you can find out about growing your okra inside the house. They grow a lot of things inside the houses in Massachusetts. Brian
and
Bloomingburg.
I love okra.
Brian, you're on.
Hi, my name's Brian. I want to keep my name in now. I was wondering how can I make fried chicken instead of using oil?
How can you make fried chicken instead of using oil? Kizzy, any ideas?
Wow, you know, nowadays they have these wonderful machines. But you know what? This is what I would tell you how to do fried chicken without oil. All you have to do is take the fried chicken, season it up, roll it in the flour, right? Roll it in the flour. Get a baking pan, a baking cookie sheet pan, and you can rub it down with, I don't know if you want to use butter or spray something so that it doesn't stick to the pan. If you put it in the oven, it will get crispy. It will crisp up on its own. It's something about that oven that you actually really don't need oil.
Ah. Okay.
You can. You know what? I done fried chicken in so many ways. I know one time it wasn't frying. We dipped it in like a mayo sauce.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And you spread it with the breadcrumbs and just throw it in the oven, and you would think that you fried that chicken in the oven. I mean, fried it on the stove, but you cooked it in the oven, and it was just breadcrumbs. Or you can use cereal.
But how did it taste? I mean, you put mayo on things.
It tasted delicious.
Really?
Yes. And you know what else they use? They use a little mayo and a little mustard. A little mayo, a little mustard, throw some salt and pepper in it, mix it up on the chicken.
Yeah.
Put the breadcrumbs on it or the cereal or your flour. Throw it right in the oven, and it's delicious. You know, a lot of times you want, when I'm saying this, you want to cook for kids at school.
Yep.
And when you're cooking for the children at school, you don't want to fry. So that's a way of giving the children, you know, the taste of having fried chicken without frying it in the grease.
All right, we only got about 25 seconds here. Kizzy Williams, Francisco, how do people find Allie B's Cozy Kitchen on social media and online?
You can find us at AllieB'sCatering@gmail.com or www.AllieB'sCozy'sKitchen, or just look us up on Facebook, Kizzy Williams or Allie B's Cozy's Kitchen, 518-729-3472. We are in the Capitol, 353 Clinton Avenue. Come see us. Come support us. Our money supports the community in the Capitol region. When you buy from us, you save lives, you make history, and that's what we need you to do. Donate to our hashtag, the Culture Center, and save lives today. WAMC, we love you so much.
And we love you, too.
The best radio station on earth. Thank y'all for all the support that y'all do for the community and what you do for Allie B's Cozy's Kitchen. Thank you, guys. Hit us up. Come eat our food. We are the best.
Kizzy, we love you, and you're the future president of the United States, so we're happy to have you on the line, doubly happily. All right, so we'll talk to you next time. Support comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, Troy's Riverfront Park, now offering fresh prepared foods to go, Saturdays 8:30 to 2, taking orders online for Sunday pickups, troymarket.org. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasoning, Sheffield, Massachusetts, specializing in black garlic and black garlic products with custom-made infused blends of sea salts and hot pepper blends, rollingrocksalt.com. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world, spirithaus.com. Once again, thanks to Kizzy Williams Francisco of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Zach Malloy. Thanks, Charlene Knight. Thanks to everybody who pledged. Have a splendid weekend.